Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If the past year has taught us anything, it is that life is unpredictable. And yet, if you're like me, a fairly well-organized person who is focused on getting things done, I spend a lot of my time trying to predict and manage what will happen each week. Studying this passage from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians is a good reminder to me, anyway, that in all of my managing and predicting, I often leave very little time for serendipity. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed every day, writes the Apostle Paul. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's easy to lose heart when all you're looking at are lists and calendars and tasks. This makes us feel as though we're wasting away because our vision is necessarily myopic. We're afraid that if we take even a minute to look up from what we're doing, we'll lose our place and there's no getting back to it very easily. We have to stay aware and alert on top of everything that life throws at us. These are the things that are seen, the things that are right in front of our noses. But what about what is unseen? What does that even mean? Being aware of what is unseen is remembering that behind the lists and underneath the calendars, alongside the tasks, are the reasons that make us so focused. We have lists and calendars and tasks because we know that without them, we can forget something that's important. But in the process, we may lose sight of what's truly important. Several weeks before the pandemic struck, I attended a conference in Cincinnati with about 400 Presbyterians. It's an annual event, and I try to go as often as I can. Now, if you've ever been to a conference organized by a bunch of Presbyterians, you know there isn't much downtime. Speakers, workshops, small group meetings, morning, noon, and night. It's the Calvinist work ethic run amok as we assure ourselves that important topics will be discussed and weighty matters will be thoroughly deliberated. At this conference last year, I met a seminary classmate, a good friend, while I was in seminary, who I hadn't seen in over 30 years. We immediately hit it off and decided to throw the conference schedule out the window one evening for a nice dinner and conversation, which lasted almost 4 hours, as we ended up sharing our life stories with each other. And as I look back on that conference today, with all of the important speakers, workshops, and small group discussions jam-packed into 3 days, it is that dinner that I remember the most. The one truly life-giving thing from that conference for me that I will always cherish. You see, the unseen things that Paul is talking about here is the adventure, the people, the love, the spirit. It is the thing that brings you life, not the thing that sucks the life out of you. It's moving forward, even with the lists, the calendars, and all the tasks, and not standing still. The important thing is the journey, because you never know what's around the next corner. We can't plan for that, but we can certainly be ready for it, open to those moments of serendipity. Ready for the moment when the laundry doesn't get done because you need to read a book or call up a good friend. Ready for the moment when a coworker wants to share something really important with you. Ready for a moment at a conference when, through all of the long meetings, a wonderful reconnection is made. Waiting for the moments of laughter, a meal, an invitation. All of that adventure is hiding. Hiding among the lists and the tasks and the calendars. Hiding in plain sight, waiting to be discovered and unleashed. We just have to be better at looking for it. But there's something that inevitably gets in the way of our discovering what's unseen in our lives, the serendipity waiting to be discovered. My outward tent is wasting away, the tent maker Paul writes in this passage about himself, seemingly without complaint. In the few verses following our text this morning, Paul goes into detail about his earthly tent. In essence, his fabric is torn. Rain gets into his tent. The more vibrant color of the original tent fabric, long ago faded, is now being some dull gray, pale-looking thing. I've lost my tent pegs and two of the supporting cord ropes that have frayed to be almost nothing. One strong gust of wind could knock this old tent down to a flattened mess. If you've ever been dealing with the issues related to growing older, some of this may sound familiar. All things being equal, Paul's rhetoric here describes what sounds like a defeated man. But defeat is a far cry from Paul's tone. Yes, it is at least as bad as Paul describes it, yet he can dismiss all of that with a quote, as a light and momentary affliction. Really? Sounds miserable enough to me. How can Paul keep his chin up, keep going, carry on for the kingdom of God when his earthly tent is undeniably in tatters? Because through Christ Jesus, he knows a larger truth. There is a divine tent maker who is even now designing and fashioning a new tent for us. This earthly tent is not the end of the story, not by a long shot. There is this thing that Paul eloquently labels a kind of weight of glory that has gotten itself deep inside of him through faith. Paul doubtless knew that the Hebrew word for glory is kabod, which means literally heavy or weighted. Glory has power behind it. It has oomph. It is heavy enough to create its own gravity as the planets orbit the sun, because the sun's weight and mass bend space around it. So also, once the weight of glory gets into your being, everything else in your life orbits around it. Everything gets focused on that glory, and that glory's own heft, nuances, qualifies, helps you see even the harder things in your life in a new light and be open to that unpredictable, unseen serendipity. Paul would probably be the last person to wave off someone's lament over life's hardships or persecutions one might endure for Christ's sake. One of our bad habits as Presbyterians is brushing off every bad thing by comparing it to something worse. Well, I used to complain about my migraines until I met a man with a brain tumor. Or the crippling arthritis in my feet seemed bad to me until I met a woman with no feet at all. I don't think Paul would do that. Some bad things happen in our lives, and they are not the way it is supposed to be. They hurt, they wound. And there is a whole biblical tradition of prayer designed to deal with that fact. It's called lament. Still, by faith, a weight of glory exists inside each of us now. And while that does not mean the tattering of our earthly tents is no big deal, it does mean that it is not the final deal. Fixing our eyes on the eternal things of Christ helps us not to lose heart, not ultimately, not finally, not as the last word on anyone's life. Few people need a preacher to convince them that our earthly tents waste away in one form or another. What all of us need is the gospel word that our doctors and therapists and home health care providers cannot provide. The good news about that weight of glory that cannot be dislodged from inside these sagging old tents. The good news that there's a master tent maker who is even now sewing and stitching something together for each of us, something quite extraordinary. When our tents tear and sag and ultimately are laid flat by a stormy gust of wind, there is yet another word to be spoken. We do not lose heart, not at the bedside of a hospice patient, not at the funeral, not at the solemn lump-in-your-throat graveside of ashes to ashes, dust to dust, not in the face of terrible injustice or withering despair. We do not lose heart. Our troubles may not seem light or momentary, but in the face of all eternity, they are. They will give way to something glorious, the handiwork of that master tent maker. And for that, we can all say, thanks be to God. Amen.